Hey, that was 21st Century Girl by Willow. And this is Cindy at KPPPLPFM.
And this is Duke.
And we are broadcasting live. We are broadcasting on 365 Live. And soon you can find us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM. Adding local color to your airwaves.
And I'm the man on the soundboard, and I cut off a little bit early on that song. I apologize.
That's great. No, that's fine. I was getting into it, though. I think that's Willow Smith. We also have Lizard in the studio.
Hello.
Do you know if that's Willow Smith?
I haven't heard any of her songs, so I wouldn't really know.
We'll have to put you on that. That's homework. Figure that out.
Homework.
Yes, it's very important to find really good music to go along with our topics of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okie dokie.
Well, this Willow, she, you know, is a young black artist, and today's topic is about white feminism. So I have a lot of things to say about this. We're going to get into it in a little bit. But this is a topic that's been coming up a lot recently. You know what feminism is, right?
Yes, I do.
And are you a feminist?
Well, I'm male. And in some feminist circles, specifically white feminist circles, I could never be a feminist because I'm male, because I'm inherently patriarchal and misogynist because I'm a male.
Really?
Yeah. So, however, I do believe in the principles of feminism, that women should be equal to men. And that the women should have equal rights, equal access, and be treated as human beings, as all human beings should be treated.
I don't buy this. I don't buy this thing that men can't be feminists.
Bull honky.
Well,
yeah.
Well, it kind of goes with the anti-oppression work dealing with racism, where a white person can be racist, but a person of color can't be racist. So the feminists took that as that white women can be feminists, but white men and any men can't be feminists. It's just something I was told. I don't believe in it because I believe in equality. I believe I can do things as a male to basically shed my supremacy, my misogyny, and I need to work on it every day. And I believe that women should be treated as human beings, as equals to men.
But you know what's funny is that men are terrified of calling themselves feminists. They don't want to be labeled as feminists.
Even some women don't want to be labeled as feminists.
Oh, yes. There's a lot of conservative women that equate the word feminism, which is essentially wanting the equal treatment of women to men, as a bad thing. Like
feminazi or something.
Like they say that word feminazi. So
and it doesn't come up much anymore, but back in the 70s, the Equal Rights Amendment to the Constitution of the United States was up for ratification by 35 states in the United States. And there were women protesting against the ERA. And basically, all the thing said is that all genders shall be treated equally to each other. And there were women out protesting because they were really afraid about bathrooms. And
what?
You know, that you couldn't discriminate based on bathrooms. So there'd be men going in women's bathrooms. This is the same argument that's been used to stop transgender legislation for equality.
Yeah, actually, people who are transgendered are more likely to be harassed in bathrooms than the people they're afraid transgender people will harass them.
This is so ridiculous. It's, I didn't know that. I had never heard that ridiculous.
Now, the bathroom thing is a big hinder
It's kind of like when they said, oh, now that the gays can marry legally, will people marry their dishwasher?
Yes.
Can they marry their cat?
Can they marry their pencil?
Right. These far-fetched Twilight Zone version of what the world will be like now that these abominations have been allowed.
Yes.
It's so ridiculous.
It is.
To me. I think it's silly. I hope I'm not offending folks that are listening. I think it really is a ridiculous thing to imagine things that don't exist as a fear. And so much of our society is harmed by creating fears that aren't there. But also, a lot of the harm that's created in our society comes from not acknowledging problems that are there, that are obviously there right in front of our faces. And something that's been coming up a lot recently is how white feminism ignores the plight the realities of Black women, of brown women, of trans women, you know? So there's a lot of things that are not really included in the white feminism movement as it has been thus far. It has been as if people of color's issues have been excluded or put at the back, you know, and we keep getting told as women, just wait. We'll get to your issue at some point.
Yeah, we'll come back for you. We'll come back for you.
For now, you have to work on this issue, which is really important to us. And in one of our previous shows, we talked about the outrageous abuse of power. In one specific case, we mentioned a 10-year-old girl who was impregnated via the rape by her stepfather. And this little girl was forced to carry this child to term, even though it could have caused her permanent damage, disability, or death to term, so that they would not violate their laws in Paraguay, where they do not allow abortions, even in the case of rape. Now, we do here in the United States, but wouldn't you know it, lots of people in the United States, pro-life women in the United States, lost their ever-loving minds mm-hmm. over this story, defending not the child's right to a therapeutic abortion, which Amnesty International said she should have had.
Didn't the Paraguay, don't they, if it's the mother's life is endangered, then they can perform an abortion. Isn't that in their legislation?
Well, it's unclear what they consider someone's life being in danger. Here's the thing. Her life could have been in danger from having this child. They gambled with her life, essentially, which is what UN experts said. And they said that she couldn't afford to try to have a vaginal birth. That's how dangerous it was for her to have that baby.
Oh, she's 10 years old.
Right. So, well, she had the baby when she was 11, but she had to have this baby, even though it was too dangerous for her to give natural birth. So they carved her open. They gave her a C-section, and she's now going to have to take care of this child and raise this child around the people that in the conditions of the country where she lives, where most of these unplanned pregnancies that come from rape and incest occur. The majority of them. There's about 2 million that occur every year.
Wow.
And about 70,000 young girls, most of them under the age of 14, that die. They die.
They just die.
As a result of having been raped and becoming pregnant and then having to carry these children to term. And what strikes me is that, you know, the callousness with which many white people, many white conservative women talk about what's going to happen to those kids. Presidential hopeful for the Republican Party, Mike Huckabee, was on television saying that she should be forced to carry that baby to term, that was the right thing to do. And, you know, it seems so hypocritical to me for anyone that is not in that culture, not in that third world country, not facing those conditions, not a woman and not a woman of color, to really comment on that situation from the perspective of a person in privilege in a country where you can get an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Still.
Yes.
Because, boy, they have tried to take those rights away.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of white feminism is ignoring. This is where white conservative women and white feminist liberals seem so similar to me. And it is because they're both equally ignorant maybe willfully so in many cases, of what is happening in the lives of poor women in third world countries. And that has a lot to do with their white privilege, because they can't understand the lives and the lived experience of women of color.
Mm-hmm.
How could they? They're not women of color. They've never had those experiences. So what we've said in the past is, if you're really in an allyship, if you're going to work together to better the lives of everyone, and you're not in the position to understand the other person's situation, step out of the way. Let them lead. They're the people that are affected by the issue. Let them tell you what they need and how they can liberate themselves.
It's very similar to dealing, you know, as a white person, taking the lead from people of color. Mm-hmm. Also, as a white male, I need to take the lead from women, period. There's a lot of work I need to do as a male to really undo that and to really be an ally to women and to people of color. And we just talked in our last podcast about different musicians that are disrespecting black women in the Black Lives Matter movement.
Right.
And that needs to change. Men need to step up and step back and listen.
Right. So even though Dre, that's what we were talking about in this movie, Straight Outta Compton, they're seen by a lot of black people as icons of the hip hop world. And also they were talking about the police brutality that was occurring, which now is, we were seeing echoed all over Ferguson and Baltimore and Cincinnati, etc. But we can't fight for the liberation of black people as a whole and leave behind those that are the most vulnerable, the most attacked, the weakest within that movement, which is black women, trans women, queer women, who, by the way, started Black Lives Matter. The leaders of that movement are black queer women. So when talking about this white feminism issue, this is something that's been coming up a lot. It's been on social media a lot. It's being discussed a lot. It is, you know, this clashing between classical clash that has been occurring forever, ever since black people were made slaves and white women had to endure that, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the way back then. And indigenous women were raped and forced to give birth to children of the conquistadores. And all of these things, they translate into a legacy that pits white women against women of color. And it pits our interests.
You know, a great example of that was when women were trying to get their voting rights. Mm-hmm. One of their key, one of the things they like to tout about why it would be so great for them to vote was that it would be able to take away the vote from people of color. Why should black men be able to vote and black women shouldn't be able to? Like, even though they probably weren't. Just the idea that a man who was black, or if we can vote, then we take even more of the voting rights away from people of color. They like to, you know, point that out as one of their key reasons to be able to vote.
And as Cindy pointed out, back in the, what they called the suffrage movement, that the white women were trying to gain the right to vote, and they told black women and women of color, we'll come back and get you later. This is not going to be a vote for you. It's going to be a vote for us, but we're going to come back later and get your rights too once we have ours.
And it was never intended for black people to vote. The only reason that they gave black people the right to be considered persons in the constitutions as 3/5 of a person was so that they could give more voting power to the plantation owners.
Exactly.
That had slaves in the South.
They needed people for the House of Representatives to create more representatives, and they counted 3/5. And I mean, how good are we at math? You got a 3/5 figure there. I mean, what does that amount to? It's a little bit more than half, but not much.
It's not considered a full human. And what that means is that black people, people of color, indigenous people to this continent were never, they were the people that everything was taken from in order to build this country. So why would they ever include us as part of those who had the same rights in this country when they were actually in policy and law dispossessing us of our human rights at that time that the country was created. It wasn't something that was intended, but it has something that people of color have been fighting for ever since.
Yes. It continues to be taken away. The Voting Rights Act just got stripped within the past year.
My beef is this. White women need to wake up and figure out that we can't do this alone. You can't do it alone. We have to work together. And whenever we talk about the divide in the way that we feel about the way white women ignore our issues and the way that white women disavow our issues or simply tear down one woman against another across that racial divide, that continues to happen because we aren't willing to come together and put the issues of women of color in the forefront, just like Bernie Sanders has had to do because the Black Lives Matter movement is saying we have to center this issue. It's a Black-centered issue, so white people aren't used to that. Mm-hmm. But white women need to give us that moment now because people of color are dying in this country. Women of color are dying in this country. And if you all wish to see us, if you're pro-life, if you're pro-women's rights, either way, you should care about the lives of Black people, about the lives of brown people in this country, which are being lost at astounding rates because of police violence, vigilante violence, racism, like Dylann Roof,
mm-hmm.
and our huge problem of violence against women in this country, rape. And not just in this country, all over the world. But I'm going to talk about, I'm speaking about the white feminism. I want you to play this video that's been going around on social media where they talk a little bit about it. And after that, when we come back, I will tell you about an article I wrote, The Shocking Reason Why Women's Rights Continue to Disappear in This Country. If you're white, this is about you as women too. If you want your rights to stick around, you have to ally yourself with us. Otherwise, all our rights are going to continue to disappear as long as you continue to ignore the rights of us. Just like as long as Black lives don't matter, all lives are being devalued. That's what I want you guys to think about as you listen to this clip. Roll it.
You might have heard the term white feminism used lately after Nicki Minaj and Taylor Swift's Twitter exchange or when people critique HBO's Girls. But what does it mean?
Basically, white feminism is feminism that ignores intersectionality.
So not all feminists who are white feminists.
But most white feminists are white because white people just don't have to think about things like race on a daily basis.
And we're not just pulling the race card. White feminism excludes the experiences of basically anyone who's not white, cis, and straight.
Here's why that's so problematic.
First, it assumes the way white women experience misogyny is the way all women experience misogyny. And that's just not true.
White feminism aims to close the wage gap between men and women. But what it fails to recognize is that most of the time, Latina and Black women make even less than white women.
And police brutality should be viewed as a feminist issue, but it doesn't affect white women the way it affects women of color. If Sandra Bland had been a white woman, would a simple traffic stop have resulted in an arrest? Would she be viewed as a loud, angry Black woman? Would she be dead?
White feminism ignores the role that whiteness plays in creating things like beauty standards. For example, this is okay, but this isn't.
White women are most often the faces of feminism. Tina Fey, Taylor Swift, Amy Schumer have been able to break into industries that have been dominated by cis white men. But Black women, women of color, we face barriers that white women don't.
Critiquing white feminism isn't about silencing those women. It's about opening up space for even more diverse voices to be heard, and that's great for everyone.
Being a white feminist doesn't make you a bad person. It just means you have a lot to learn.
The most important thing any white feminist can do is educate herself and listen and engage with the experiences of women of color without silencing them. Because sometimes as white ladies, we just have to shut the f-
Oh, yeah.
That's very, very timely. Mm-hmm. And it's been talked about for a long time. This article that I wrote, The Shocking Reason Women's Rights Continue to Disappear, I wrote it a while ago. It's been an issue that's been going around in social media a lot. Although I think it's been, you know, more reserved to the women of color that I know, where we're talking about white feminism and how it leaves a lot of groups out, mainly black women, trans women. And today's topic is about white feminism. You're listening to KPPPLPFM. This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Lizzie.
And we're talking about white feminism today. You're listening to us on Live 365 on the internet, but soon you'll find us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM, adding local color to your airwaves.
And we're working on going online. We hope to get on soon within the next month or two. But in the meantime, give us a call if you want to leave us a message at 701-566-0917. Tell us who you are, where you live, and give us some feedback. We may play it on the air, so keep the language clean. You can tweet us at @media_PPP or email Cindy at kpppfm.com or Duke at kpppfm.com.
So here's the shocking reason why women's rights continue to disappear. No movement where people demanded their rights has ever been successful without the uprising of the oppressed. And usually a critical mass of that target group must rise up before a shift in ideas or behaviors begins to take place. It was how the civil rights movement was won. Today, however, we hear there is a war on women's rights, and women are losing that battle. States are rolling back abortion rights, guaranteed decades ago in Roe versus Wade. One out of four women are sexually assaulted before the age of 18. The statistics are higher for brown and black women. One out of every five college women are raped on campus. And yet Congress narrowly reauthorized the Violence Against Women Act. Women still can't earn equal pay with men or gain access to the same quality education or jobs. And women in America are furious at politicians and lawmakers, most of whom are all white males, for their adversarial policies, and they vow to rise up together and unleash their voting power of women to fight back. You hear this, like, people are like, Hillary, we're gonna, the women, we're going to fight back against these politicians, especially around here, because in North Dakota, they've been trying to pass some of the most regressive anti-abortion laws, and they were found to be unconstitutional recently.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, a lot of the white feminists are, you know, I've taken women's studies courses. Although I'm a white male, I've been around a lot of feminists and went through a lot of training. And a lot of times I've met white feminists who just basically, when it comes to voting, they're going to vote for a woman regardless of what she stands for, because they believe that, you know, we need to shift the power of men. If we just get women in office, it's going to start shifting just by electing women. But then I see people like in North Dakota, some of these women legislators who are just terrible on their policies on women health.
Betty Grandy.
Betty Grandy, you know, and it's like, it's just terrible. And it's like, well, if I just vote for women and hope they win, is it automatically going to turn things towards equality?
Sometimes no. They're just sellouts.
It just feels that they're at odds with the rights of women who they are part of. Yeah. Yes.
Well, you know,
they're acting against their own self-interest, would be another way of putting it, I
suppose.
Yes,
and I'll bring up another history lesson. Phyllis Schlafly was a woman who was out advocating against the ERA amendment back in the 70s.
Schlafly, you say?
Schlafly. And she went out and did speaking engagements, and she did all sorts of things to try to promote voting against this bill, or voting against this this constitutional change. Mm. And yet she was very public. She was receiving money. She was getting rich off of her speaking engagements. And women would say, but your main mantra is you're telling women, go home, serve your husbands. Be the woman in the house and stop this public life. Yet her whole life was a public life. So it's very hypocritical.
It is. That's why I was talking about earlier how hypocritical it seems to me for Mike Huckabee and also women's movement, the white feminist women's movement in America, to focus on the plight of women of color and have this holier than thou, they should eat cake. You guys just deal with it over there without abortion rights, because we in America, we advocate that you shouldn't have abortion rights, even though we've got them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a saying in Mexico, you shouldn't spit straight up in the air, because that's going to fall right back in your face.
Yeah, most definitely.
I think it's really a cruel thing. And, you know, that's why I'm not optimistic about the women's movement in America.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for women in America, racial divisions deeply rooted in this, in the life, in the institutions, and in the history of this country have kept women divided against each other, unable to organize together for the well-being and the benefit of all of us. And, you know, that might seem like a shocking statement, but it's true, and it stems from a misogynist system that sustains patriarchy and white supremacy for white males. Yes, I said it.
Yes, you did.
White women act against their own self-interest as women when they support conservative policies which restrict women's right to exercise their free will over their sexual and reproductive organs and their progeny. Whatever their stated ulterior motives may be of these women, of these conservative women that vote against our own interests as women in this country, whatever their stated ulterior motive may be, whether it's religious or moral values, for example, the outcome is that women's access as a whole to medical, to reproductive care will be limited or lost. That's what they're trying to do with the Planned Parenthood thing.
Exactly, exactly.
And conservative women understand that. But see, here's the thing. Here's the little evil thing that makes women of color so upset. They're not the ones most affected by them going along with these policies.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the women most affected?
Women of color.
We all know who those women are.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who are most affected by the loss of access to medical care of any sort, especially when we're talking about reproductive care, access to clinics, to reproductive care, and also after the child is born.
Yeah.
More critically, after that child lives, education-wise. You know, because the people from these same conservative groups and religious Christian groups that want to restrict abortion are the very same people that want to restrict feeding children and giving them pre-K education.
That's right.
They're the same people that will build more prisons in a state like California than they will schools. They built one university since the 1980s, and they've built 22 jails.
Shows what their expectations are, huh?
If you just want more slaves, you can't expect people not to try to make a decision for themselves. Women who were enslaved, who were routinely raped by their slave owners, who knew that their lives of the children that they were going to have was going to be one of being slaves, that were also raped and forced to carry on the life of a slave for the slave owner, many times ripped apart from their family anyways, they would try to abort their children themselves. They would try to kill their children. Many times they did kill their children when they were already alive.
Mm-hmm.
And white people can't question what kind of misery people who do that have been through, because all y'all's ancestor did that.
Exactly.
To these folks that you're judging. who you don't understand or know. And the reality is that most people don't want to face that in a discussion, because Black and Latina women's sexuality and reproductive care has never been respected in the same way as a white woman.
No, not at all.
Black, Latina, and Native women were all historically subjected to rape and forced sterilization in a way that white women have never been targeted. And that's because of the eugenics movement in America, which reinforced Jim Crow ideology and policy, law, folks. It was considered a scientific necessity to reduce the fertility of women of less desirable races, i.e. the Mexicans, the Latinos, the Native Americans, the African Americans. And forced sterilization of women of color continues today in jails in America. They have forced sterilization, and they did it in California within the last year. There was a story about this. It happens today, but it is rarely discussed in the media and or in American history, because you want to conveniently omit the teaching or the discussion even of these very easy verifiable facts.
And they are. Those facts are verifiable. It's all part of ignoring reality, history, the history of the white feminism movement. I mean, I went to Minneapolis with a group of women for Women Come to the Capitol. It was put on by the Women's Consortium in Minnesota. And I was there with a group of women activists, and they invited them up because they were part of this poverty group called Up and Out of Poverty Now. Mm-hmm. And the first woman got up and spoke, and she talked about the forced sterilization of women of color. And the white women who run it wanted her to shut up, because what she's doing is she's bringing up an issue that they weren't there to discuss. They were to discuss all women's rights here in Minnesota, which meant
not black women or women of color.
No
rights.
Women of color voices were going to be accepted.
Right.
There. And that was a leading feminist organization in the 1990s in Minnesota.
I know. See, and this is what it goes back to what we were just saying, because white women organized together for women's suffrage when they knew there was no equality between people of color and white people. They knew that. So they knew that voting rights that they were really securing were those of white women, not all women. And this too is never really discussed. Women of color are not supposed to notice these holes in that feminist movement net, which conveniently let all women of color slip through the cracks.
That's right.
We're just supposed to join in and support the fight for women's rights, as if the concerns of the inhumane and cruel treatment of women of color will be included in the feminist agenda, when we clearly know it is not. But we are still expected to join and support the white feminist cause. And most of us do. Willingly or half-heartedly, but we do it. And you want to know why? Because we hope, this feeble hope, that what we ask in the name of all women will finally trickle down to black women and brown women in this country. But that is not happening, and we are tired of waiting. So the problem within the feminist movement is not rooted merely in gender issues, but instead in racial ones. We are not united and allied across racial lines with one another in the women's movement. Anyone who is an anti-racist will tell you that if you are a white anti-racist, then you have to learn how to be a good ally. Do you know what that means?
Well, we've been talking about it in our podcast, and it means listening. It means stepping back, listening, really evaluating pretty much everything you've ever done in your whole life, and really try not to make decisions for people of color, and really take lead from people of color.
Right, but like the ally of any movement, silent support from the sidelines is not considered being a good ally.
No.
The whole point of being an ally is that the people from the oppressed group have a hand up from those who are the dominant group,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
That's the reason why white these allies are useful because they're part of the dominant group that has access to influence, power, privilege, and they can help bring more visibility to an issue that might otherwise be ignored by their white peers in that dominant group. So for the purposes of this discussion, I'm going to identify the three groups of women that there are, the three groups that women fall into. There's white conservative women, then there's white progressive women, and then there's women of color.
Okay.
Because among white women, there is also a division. Of course, there are also black conservative women. But really, can you name some that have lots of power?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Okay. So that's why I broke them up into three groups. Okay. Only. Black women, women of color have no power in the structure. Therefore, it is white women who must take on the role of being the good ally to women of color. They're going to be reaching down to their sisters, right? And pulling them up.
Oh, yeah.
To give them an equal footing. After all, they share being women with us.
Mm-hmm.
And they know what we face as women collectively and individually. They know we face differences as women of color. Yet this sisterhood of women has not and is not taking place. How come white women aren't waking up? What's going on?
Well, you know, again, looking at history, I think you've mentioned it before in this podcast and in this show right now. And I don't know if you realize this, but affirmative action, actually to help companies comply with the affirmative action, they would look at women as a minority, white women as a minority, because they're a woman.
Mm.
And so you and I have highway companies hiring women to go out there and you know, do the markings and do the setups and stuff, and they could hire white women and then comply with being
action. I got to point this one thing out. Did you know, fun fact, folks, that the affirmative action program that was put into place after the civil rights movement to give more access to people that had been historically disenfranchised, black people, people of color, and give them jobs actually benefited white women the most?
Yeah.
That's the group that benefited the most from the affirmative action.
Not the people who really, really, really needed it.
Yeah, not the people who really, 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 really needed it. The people that benefited the most from affirmative action, which was created for black people,
mm-hmm.
and people of color,
yeah.
mostly benefited white women the most.
Wow.
And yeah. yet we're called out for being sucking on the teeth of the government and mm-hmm. taking away all our money. And
but see, this is the thing, is that white folks ignore history. And white women, when they're talking about the feminist history of this country, they ignore what's happened to us. And the unfortunate reality is that the United States of America was founded through the systemic land theft, rape, and genocide of the indigenous First Nation people that were living here. And in order to justify the genocide that was caused by Manifest Destiny and slavery of both the indigenous body as well as the African one, the United States also established a system of white supremacy, which it institutionalized into its government, into its policies and laws, its educational system, and its medical and scientific systems. The rape of black women at the hands of slave owners was well known by the slave owners' white wives. Remember I said that?
Yes.
And the consequences of these contentious relationships created by rape and slavery and repeated with impunity for centuries pitted white women against the black or brown women who were the objects of their husband's desires,
not
of their men's
husbands.
Desires, of their son's desires, of their men.
It still goes on today.
Oh, yeah. The law put into place by white men reinforced and upheld their rights to control women, their ability to reproduce with them, and the treatment that white women and children versus black and brown women and children could receive. And that's, we're going to break that down even further in a minute. But first, I want us to take a musical break. You've been listening to Cindy and Duke Gomez Shemp and Lizzie Cicados on KPPP LP FM. We're adding local color to your airwave. We're on Live 365 right now, but soon you'll be able to hear us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM. And here is Girls and Beyonce, Who Run the World. Beyonce, Queen Bey. And this is Cindy Gomez Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez Shemp.
And this is Lizzie.
And you're listening to KPPP LP FM. We're broadcasting right now through 365 live on the internet, but soon you can find us on your radio dial at 88.1, adding local color to your airwaves. Tonight's topic is white feminism. And we've been talking about the shocking reason why women's rights continue to disappear in our country. And people are talking about, you know, there's Republicans talking about the right to abortion. And they were saying in the recent debates that they did, some were saying they didn't believe and a woman's right to have an abortion, even if her life was at risk for any reason at all. None. Not rape, not incest, nothing. These are really shocking statements to hear from our presidential candidates.
That's horrifying, right? Statements.
It's basically a woman can die, and they're going to try to dig that baby out of her dead cold hands, basically.
And you know what? The Trump, his ex-wife, said that Ivana Trump said that, accused him of marital rape, and he claimed through his attorney there was no such thing.
A man can rape his wife.
So he didn't say no, he just said that doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
So I was like, oh, it doesn't exist. I couldn't have done
you
it.
Can't it rape happen. A you can't rape something you own, basically. Is I don't know. That's how it sounds to me.
That's horrible.
I don't know. What do people think? I want to hear what you guys think about this topic and any of our other podcasts, which you can find on kpppfm.com.
Yeah, you just click on the podcast link and or on the live and on air link. And also, you can call us at 701-566-0917, tweet us at media_PPP, or email Cindy at kpppfm.com or Duke at kpppfm.com.
Now, this impetus, we were talking about the white feminist movement, this impetus in many ways, it stems from white women's desires to escape the economic and the sexual prison imposed on them by white men. The whole feminist movement, that's where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
And they endeavored to gain what? Economic independence by acquiring political power and the ability, like their male counterparts, to vote and to own land. But when white women gained these rights, they did so with the help and the influence of allies who were white men. Okay?
Okay.
Let us not forget this, because without those white allies pleading their cause in that white man's world, they may never have achieved their goals. White men, at least some of them, had to believe white women when they spoke of their oppression and understood why they deserve the rights to vote and own property or get an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And sympathize with them and care about them.
Think of them as human, even.
Yeah, not property.
Mm-hmm.
And the laws guaranteeing these rights for white women eventually came later when these men believed. Yet acceptance and enforcement of those laws, supposedly giving us our sought out equality, still elude women on the whole to this very day. You know, if you listen to men, to hear them tell it, it sounds like we're in a post-gender unequal society.
Yeah, men and women are equal. In fact, there's more women than men that exist in this country. So the numbers are there, and there is really no problem because women do have equality.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
And they keep saying that, oh, well, you know, the wage gap, not really. It's closed. It's not.
Well, it comes out of
nothing wrong.
It comes out of not having experience in the job force, and all sorts of things will be explained away why women haven't achieved this equality that they say actually exists today. But if you look at what women are in control of anything in this country, there are far and few between. There's a few women. There's a lot of white women who have power, but not as a whole for all white women or any women of color.
Yeah, and if you were listening to the beginning of the podcast, where we had that clip that this video that's been going around the social media about white feminism and how it ignores the issues of black and brown women. They were talking about pay equality is a different issue when talking about white women as opposed to black and Latina women who earn far less than white women. So when they say, well, you know, women earn 73 cents to the dollar. That's white women.
Yes.
That's not Latino women.
No.
They think they're the default woman.
Right. That's not black women. So the women's movement, just like the Black Lives Matter movement, just like they say, we have to lead by including and putting at the forefront queer women, trans women. The same should be said for the white feminist movement. We have to change it. Something has to change, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think the women need to really analyze their own feminist movement. The white women really need to learn our history as white people in this country and the emergence and development of feminism. Really needs to be looked at.
We as women, we're still the pilots of our own ships. And the fact that we've been out to sea for so long, wandering around like ghost ships, unable to find our way in a fog, is a testament to how far away we are from being united in a woman's movement, in expressing our collective needs, or for fighting to demand collective rights for all women. And the problem with our approach is that in order for all of us women to come together to fight for our common good, the women amongst us who have the most privilege and power have to, one, care about, two, understand, and three, believe women of color's issues and put them at the forefront of the white women's feminist movement.
Yes.
And stop making excuses. I can see feminists being very defensive at your words in this program. But I'd say stop and listen. Don't let that defensiveness rule what you are thinking. And we as white people like to turn on people of color as soon as we feel criticized or we haven't done something wrong, and we have to accept responsibility for our own oppressing of them, and we'll get defensive and want you just to shut up.
Just accept that you've made a mistake and that you've screwed up and move on and make it better. Why is that so hard?
Well, I think part of it is that white women get defensive because when they hear this, they feel like, oh, we have to put women of color's issues above white people, and white people don't matter anymore. That's not what we're saying. Just like in the Black Lives Matter movement, white people get confused and they say, all lives matter. Yes, black people aren't being killed by cops the same way white people are. It hardly happens to y'all. You're mm-hmm. not in danger. You're okay. Are police killing white people too? Yes, but it's not the same. The issue is there is no justice for black people. You're not out of power in this country. You've always been the people that this country was created for. So, you know, this is not just in the moment. Historically and in the present, black and brown women in America are much more likely than white women to get paid less, to drop out of high school, to become pregnant teenagers, to be unemployed, to get raped, to have children out of wedlock, and to be forcibly sterilized, die in childbirth, die of a preventable disease due to lack of access to medical care, have their children put in foster care, live in poverty, become victims of domestic violence, and the list goes on and on and on.
It's so depressing.
But these are not random unknown facts. Not to white women. These are all well-known tropes that all white women and all white men are familiar with. And yet, these are not the top tenets of the American feminist movement, nor have they ever been. Women of color are noticing this. We're not asleep.
It's hard not to notice. I think that the white feminist movement would acknowledge exactly what was just said, everything that you're saying. However, we don't look at inwardly at how we're benefiting from it all, and we're not in the same situation. But we can talk about the plight of women of color as an example on how this misogyny and sexism is wrong and things need to change, but we don't reflect on how that we're not in the same position.
And as I said before, you know, we women of color, we have supported the white feminist movement because we're waiting for that trickle down to our issues. But women of color, even if we may be active within and supportive of what we know is really a white women's movement, which tokenizes women of color for numbers and stats, but really ignores our issues as unimportant or secondary to the white woman's agenda. Women of color know that, in fact, our issues are some of the most egregious examples of America's present-day moral obscenities, and that the feminist groups most responsible for defending the rights of women remain silent when it comes to defending women of color. We know that. We see it. But, you know, our full-throated or lukewarm support of the women's movement as women of color, it's just the tip of the iceberg when we examine, when we unpack why it is that the women's movement, the white feminist women's movement, if we're really calling it what it really is moving backwards instead of forwards. And white women should pay attention, because y'all are going to lose your rights too.
Exactly.
Y'all are you're losing them right now. And as women, we must examine what would make any woman act against her own self-interest and that of all women. And the reason for that is that both patriarchy and white supremacy, which is frequently wrapped up in religion and morality and laws and policies, have trained white women to accept that white men know best. They're going to do the best for you. And that although they've seen the fate of black and brown women all throughout the history of this country, and they clearly recognize that the injustices that are being made against those black and brown women, mostly, more than any, that they lack equality between them and those women, they know that they themselves will be spared by their white men that same fate. That's what's evil about this. This is what bothers me about this.
Yes, definitely.
That I know, they know they're not going to have to suffer the same kind of consequences. So the fact that white women have been given an advantage over women of color has been a dirty little trick, which is, it's a trick on all of us, you see. It's a cruel trick, which leaves both white women and women of color fooled, and both of us are empty-handed. Because white men cannot continue to maintain either patriarchy or gender inequality without the explicit or implicit complicity of one half of those who hold sway and power in this country. And that's white women.
Wow.
That's white women.
Mm-hmm.
So at least I'm better than kind of idea then?
Yeah.
At least white, I'm not a black woman, though. Of course they know.
Yeah, because see, white women have known, ignored, or benignly stay out of the discriminatory and the brutal treatment of women of color. And they have tolerated it because they are exempt from the worst treatment, the most horrible conditions, the greatest losses of freedom that the women of color have to face. And both white men and white women know that regardless of whether they are conservative or progressives. Did you hear that?
Yes, I
did. Doesn't matter. They know that the worst outcomes of what they ignore benignly or outright condemn for women of color to have to endure, they know those worst outcomes and consequences in society are reserved mostly for the poor black and brown women of this country and of this world. And that makes me angry.
Yeah, they knew that back in trying to get the right to vote for white women. It says women earns the right to vote, but it's white women got the right to vote. And knowingly that things were worse for women of color, they knowingly did that, and they've kept it that way ever since.
And see, that's what causes this divide. Because whether you call it apathy or fear or confusion or whatever, at the end of the day, women of color, we know that we can never trust that white women are really fighting for our cause, because white women never show that they even care about the most egregious problems that are facing women today, the issues that are facing women of color, because those are the biggest issues. How can the women's movement be taken seriously by women of color or men when white progressives refuse to readily acknowledge or address the most horrible social problems in America, which incidentally disproportionately affect black and brown women? Physical and sexual assault, rape, hunger, homelessness, extreme poverty, violence, And the answer is, they can't. Conservative white women can't trust it either. You know why? They know it is a white man's world. If I was going to have to choose between putting the fate and the security of my future and my freedom in the hands of a progressive white woman within the white women's movement or a white man, I would probably hedge my bet and I would stick with the guy, white guy. Because they've been in power for over 500 years. I know that. They've already shown they're the ones in power.
Wow.
They say the measure of a great society is made by evaluating how it treats its most vulnerable members. I think that can be said as well of any great movement or group.
Mm-hmm.
By not putting the issue of women of color front and center in the women's movement, white progressive women are missing the mark, and they're reinforcing their inability to defend the rights of any women.
Wow.
The message to all women witnessing the lukewarm or the absent defense of women of color is that if you can't defend black and brown women, you can't defend any women effectively. I don't trust you. I don't believe you.
Very true.
And white conservative women and women of color, we notice these things, okay? And that's why we're all divided against each other.
And that's very famous as dividing and conquering. That's one thing that tries to stop a movement is to get people to fight with each other and trip each other up and not actually focus on the oppression they're fighting.
And as long as these three groups of women I've identified are stuck in this standoff, all women are suffering the consequences. White women are the ones with the least to lose, and therefore they may feel safe in their white privilege relative to brown women, you know, thinking white men will always respect white women's freedoms and their rights, despite laws which are disproportionately taking freedoms from and harming black and brown women right now.
Mm-hmm.
But they will be coming for you.
Yeah.
After all, that's how things have always worked up until now. But the fact that the majority of white women, be they conservative or progressive, are currently shielded from feeling the effects of restricted or lost rights for abortion rights or healthcare rights or rights to be protected from rape or violence, that doesn't mean you're going to be safe forever.
Yeah, that's right.
Besides, white women should be very wary of blindly trusting in the promises coming from the group that possesses the greatest threat to the survival of all women, and that's white men. And that's a true statement, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, because the number one threat to women is men, and yeah, white men do not have a good track record of keeping their promises.
No, not at all.
When it comes to the treatment of those they oppress in this country, including women. So although more and more of our freedoms and rights as women have fought very hard to gain, and we are seeing them shrinking or disappearing, I am not that optimistic that all these white women that are talking about how they're going to rise up together against this war against women and their rights, I don't see that happening. I don't see how they're uniting with women of color to take back our collective freedoms. We've never risen up together as women, women of color and white women all together for anything. And women of color can't even get white women to acknowledge our issues. How are we going to stand up together? If women really want to change the dynamics of how women are treated in this country, if white women want to be respected, to get paid equally, to be cared for, and to be honored in society, then we must learn how to acknowledge and care about the weakest, the poorest, and the most maligned amongst us first. We must meet the errors of our past head on, and we must form new alliances so we can move forward together. We must see how men have divided and confused our relationships, pitting us against each other as rivals and as competitors, rather than as peers and as supporters of each other And we have to break the stereotypes of women. But first, we have to break the stereotypes of black and brown women.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to work our way up from that bottom. It's time we figure this out before it's too late. And the trickle-down feminism we've seen so far has not worked. We got to find a better way.
Definitely. It's going to take some work and commitment, and the white feminists need to listen, need to wise up.
Yeah, trickle-down never works.
No, it never does. We want to hear from you guys. Leave us a message at 701-566-0917, or you can tweet us at media_PPP. Send us an email at cindy.duke@kpppfm.com. You've been hearing a white feminism show on KPPP-LP-FM. We'd love to hear more from you. We've been broadcasting tonight on Live 365. Soon you can find us on your airwaves at 88.1 FM, adding local color to your airwaves. Tonight we leave you with the Black Feminist Movement theme song.
Yo, this is time for Put Your Mind on Your Soul. Yo, after story has never been told. Ladies, you got to demand what you want, and what you want is respect, right? Yo, just sit up on the track, this is what you feel with it, right? Freedom every time for the sisters. Check this. Watch this.
And here we go now. Listen, if I'm boom boom rule, I be the ruler like Slick Rick. Hit with this quick-witted Adidas wearing shit. Papa got a brand new bag. Mama got a brand new Jag. A go tag. I ain't no old hag. Nah, I represent not only in the kitchen, in the bedroom, but also in the boardroom. So give me more room. Deny my opportunity. You in jeopardy. Yo, yo, set me free. Don't hinder me. Let me be.
I'm fighting for freedom. I got the heat in case you need them. A straight soldier. Ain't nobody told ya. Hold up on them lies. I know your games and your plans. Do whatever you can to oppress the man. But when it's time to drop the bar, bring the funk in the song. You say you never met a sister so strong, you're wrong now. How can we be free? It takes you and it takes me to blend together in harmony and peace and love and all of the above. Sisters coming together representing one love. No disrespect, but we gotta get it together. No matter what's the weather, sisters gotta stick together. And sisters be strong, don't let them steer you wrong. Hold on, cause sisters got it going on.
To make a stand, but now I'm standing. We've gotten more demands, and they never thought in planning that a wish for us to sit would be a dose. This roller coaster, whether tradition or religion, why you question my decision? Why you spend up all your time trying to get into my mind? Why everybody and they mama got to add to all my drama, mad drama? Hell, if I'ma keep my dominating feministic hell, creating crazy, sexy, cool black in the palms of your player hater stands. My only chance of being free is to fly within me, and it's illegal to kill a meagle. A bird is never more important than my people. I guess we didn't need him, so I took away his freedom.
Cause free your mind and your soul. Don't make no guys come take control. Cause you're young and now you play the role. And I'm that story has never been told.
My spiritual awareness leads me to believe that your doubt in the sisters could come with the peace. We've been together since Jack created water. The African water celebration is in order. Pop the cork. We give champagne to the stork that brought the light to my mama in New York. African, I come again and again. You kick me down, I get back up. I'm coming back in multiples of 10.
You know where I come from. Sprung from the belly of the beast. Used to speak African tongue. So I showed her. Next one bolder. Sprung the devil over my shoulder. I'm getting over. Cause I'm bolder than the next. I'm in Latin. Cause I speak the real truth from the text. Who's next to flex with this S-I-S-T-E-R? The sun, the moon, the crescent, the star. Wanna see how open you are.
Bring your mind on your soul. Don't make no guys come take control. Because you're young and now you play the role. All right, I know you are gonna let them know.
Come and take a walk with me. Closer walk with these. See what only I can see. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. So it's back to the womb of everlasting life and truth. Let the heaven of a system embrace you. Embrace the mother. I'm a
into the light, let it shine. Blackness is fine. Skin, the blackness of your mind.
And that's who I be. And I don't give a damn if your eyes can't see. If you can't see what I can see, that you're wrong, baby. I'm a woman who's black, so back up, cause it's on. I'ma tell you strong what's wrong with the world that we're living on. It ain't who you know, it ain't what you drive. It's about how you feel about yourself on the inside. When your self-esteem is low and they call you a hoe, then you think you's a hoe. But that ain't what the Lord God made you to be. I need you to see you're black and you're free.
Bring your mind on your soul. I mean, no guys come take control. Because you're young and I you play the role. And out that story has never been told. Bring your mind on your soul. I mean, no guys come take control. Because you're young and I you play the role. And out that story has never been.